This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins and you can find me at Conkers3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my colleague Peter at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. This is podcast number 61 and we're in November and it's the 3rd of November 2021. This puts Pete and I in our third year of doing this podcast.
Wow.
If I recall, Pete, I think we started in November 2018. You know, back in the day where it's like whistling through a sound tunnel and people going, what are these guys talking about? Do you remember that, mate?
I mean, you know, it's I listened to a few in the early days and I was horrified. And it was so great that we managed to move it forward. And then I didn't listen to one for ages because I absolutely hate listening to them. Do you know what I mean? It's like when it's your own voice and stuff, it's just a nasty thing to do. So I didn't listen to one until like TPI 50 or something. I just couldn't believe the difference. I was so pleased that we'd come such a long way, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to say a big thank you to everybody, really, Pete, because we've come and we're near our third anniversary on this podcast, and some people have stuck with us through thick and thin, you know, the likes of, you know, Steve Holdsworth, Diana Patterson,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Nick Marks and Phil Oakley have been there right from the outset and listened to the stuff where other people have gone, I'm not listening to that, it's going to hit my ears sort of thing, you know. I've just stuck with us all the way through. So I just want to thank everybody that's persisted with us. Hopefully the quality audio and content is has improved and you still continue to enjoy it listening to us. We're still averaging towards 2,500 listens each week now from where we started out from. So, you know, we've persisted, you've persisted with us, and we're just glad to be able to continue to bring you some insightful, honest and objective content. Each fortnight.
Totally couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, and thanks to everyone. I mean, we've named a few names there, obviously people we know and whatever, and people we know through Twitter. But, you know, I know there's absolutely a lot of people out there who we don't get in contact with, and we really appreciate, you know, the support you've always given us. The fact you always listen keeps our listeners' numbers up. The fact that you follow us and you subscribe to us is fantastic, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right, Pete, we're going to get into markets, mate, because I had a conversation with somebody on Monday, and they said, oh, is that the breakout you were talking about? Is the markets are doing ever so well? I said, yeah, it's doing okay. I said, but just hold off a little bit. I said, there's a couple of things happening here, other than the macro stuff. It's a Monday of the week, yeah, and it's the first of the month. So all those people that are averaging in, scaling in, and are doing monthly subscriptions, monthly, you know, additions to their portfolios and investments, that money's gone into the markets today. So that's the reasons why, one of the reasons why that's the markets had a bit of an uplift. And we had the FTSE 100, the FTSE All Share, and the FTSE, not the AIM, hit 52-week highs briefly on Monday. The FTSE 100 had an intraday 52-week high of 7,300, Pete. We've not seen that measure for a good while.
Yeah.
And the FTSE All Share had an intraday high 52 week of 4164. FTSE 100 today closed at 7248 and the FTSE All Share closed at 4135. And then the follow through for that, Pete. Oh, sorry, I'll just go back again to AIM.
Yeah.
AIM had an intraday high of 1230, but that was not a 52 week high.
AIM has been
it's been a bit rocky.
Really disappointing. And you know, I talk so much about the 13/21 day EMAs, exponential moving average. That one is still bearish. Whereas, you know, the FTSE 100 one has turned, and looking good, the FTSE 250 one actually did a bull cross a couple of days ago, but I'm, you know, it needs to crack on and start moving up to properly establish that bull cross. I think the small cap was very near a bull cross. So they're all looking pretty good, apart from the AIM one, which is really struggling. So,
yeah. That's because they're the largest entities in and on AIM aren't doing as well.
Interestingly enough,
you had the situation with the Dow, NASDAQ and S&P all hitting and achieving multi-year highs on Monday, the 1st of November. So yeah. I thought, oh, great. You know, there's going to be a follow through on the 2nd of November for our markets. So it went up a little bit more in the morning, and then it just seems to have been ebbing and flowing for the last couple of days. You know, so
I mean, I find, generally speaking, these are tedious markets for me. I think, as you say, the American ones have been pushing up, and I do get some benefit from that because I've got a little bit of sort of US exposure. But I just find last few days really, well, last couple of weeks really, it's just been a sort of tedious, grinding kind of sideways kind of market. And the interest of me on the FTSE 100 is it seems at the moment to have like top of a range around at 7,300 pretty much on it. And then down at the bottom of the range, you've got really good support just below 7,200. So we're in this really tight sideways range. And I just think it's sort of grinding along. And I think a lot of markets are doing that, apart from, as we say, the Dow and stuff. But I did notice the DAX nearly made an all-time high yesterday or day before. And today it's just slightly off that. So I feel like we're just consolidating really and just going through this really sort of tedious phase. But we've just got to focus on, you know, stick to the strategy, stick to what we always do and just get through it really.
Agreed, mate. I mean, the interesting thing is, and a lot of people we know, Pete, they're not only investing in stocks and shares, but they invest in funds.
Yeah.
And one of the most highly regarded and probably invested funds over the past 2 or 3 years in the UK is the Terry Smith Fund, which is the Fundsmith Fund.
Yeah. Fundsmith Equity. Yeah.
Fundsmith Equity. Yes.
Yeah.
And he's been saying on and off for a little while now, actually, that he wouldn't buy Amazon shares, Pete.
Yeah,
for a variety of different reasons. You know, it's a tech company. But is it a tech company? What are they doing with all these big warehouses? Why are they doing buying up all this, that, and the other, et cetera. Yeah.
Mm.
However, this month or the end of October and now declared, he's gone in and he's bought some Amazon shares. Yeah.
So seems quite a strange move, doesn't it? After all this time of saying it's overvalued, because that would have been one of his key things, would have been it was overvalued. And you think, well, now it's gone up loads more, and yet, strangely, you're keen on buying it now.
Yeah, but, you know. The thing that's interesting for me, Pete, as an aside, is that his comment was basically saying, if Mr. Bezos, he calls him Mr. Bezos, by the way, were to flow Amazon Web Services, yeah, we would be very interested and it would be a very good business, right? So whether he sees that as a possibility as that being spun off, because when Amazon came out with their results, it was a good few weeks back, I think, it wasn't that great, the results, Pete. And I thought, there's all these metrics for Amazon, and most of them are down.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? So the markets, you know, wasn't that happy with it. The profit market, almost everything collapsed regarding that, right? Their operating margins and segments-wise and all the rest of it. The one thing that was positive for them was their AWS. Yeah?
Yeah, the web services bit, yeah.
Absolutely. So for me, that read across for me is the relationship that Amazon, have with Micro Focus. Yeah, AWS link there. Right?
So I'm looking and I've already invested. That's MCRO, isn't it?
MCRO, Micro Focus, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that relationship and seeing what's going on there. Because if they were to do anything with the AWS, and that's the bit that's winning for them at the minute and doing well for them, then will they come and do anything with Micro Focus? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my little read across. I thought it was very interesting that Terry Smith has finally popped his head up and said, "I'm going to buy it." Yeah.
I just looking at the chart on Amazon, I've noticed that over the last year and a half hasn't really gone that far, not like a lot of the crazy tech stocks have, you know? It's sort of been in a bit of a wobbly range, sort of slightly inclining upwards, you know?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is because it had a significant boost during the latter or the mid to latter part of 2020, and then it was a case of people saying, "Oh, it's got red hot, better cool it off a little bit," and so on and so forth. So I just
So
thought
maybe it's been cooling off for a
it's been
while then.
cooling off a little bit while, and he's probably, knowing Terry Smith, he's been waiting for it to get to a price that he was happier to buy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Pete?
So I'm looking at a chart and it's basically between, is that, I suppose that's $30, isn't it? So it's like 3,000, call it 3,000 and 3,500. It's just been wiggling between those levels for most of the last 1.5 years. It's quite amazing.
Amazon's one of them companies that lots of people just, either it's a Marmite, it's another Marmite stock, Pete. They either love it or they hate it. You know what I mean? You're looking at each share, Pete, at $3,346 per share.
So it's $3,000. Okay, yeah, I suppose it's pretty.
$3,346 per share. Yeah.
Wow.
And at the moment, you're saying about it's not really done much this year, and you're absolutely spot on. It's year to date, Pete. It's up 2.76%, right?
Whoa. Wow.
Over the past 12 months, it's up 3%. Amazon, right? And we talk about the Nasdaq,
And you've had
right?
no dividend.
And you've had doesn't pay dividends, Pete. Yeah. And then the Nasdaq itself, Pete, right, is up 21.75%.
Wow.
And in the last year, it's up 35%. So that's a massive underperformance over 12 months by Amazon versus the Nasdaq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe Terry thinks, it's having a consolidation period, it's lagged behind, it will push forward again.
It could be, mate, but he's a very shrewd guy, you know what I mean? So he's one of those sort of people that you just need to keep an eye on when he makes a move like that. He's saying forever and a day, no to Amazon, no to Amazon. And then he jumps in and lumps in and buys a stake in the company. So I like that, and I'm hoping maybe I'm just seeing what I want to see. You know what I mean? I'm trying to see a read across for Micro Focus, which I hold. You know what I mean? So
Well, there's
Amazon have got
another
a tie up with Micro Focus. They're looking to buy some shares and have taken a stake in Micro Focus as well. So I'm happy with that read across. We'll wait and see what happens, mate.
there's another read across, which is one related to me. I mean, we're just talking about our own stocks. What's going on? We have a big ramping
I rarely
session
do that,
here.
but go on.
Yeah. Well, actually, before I mention it, I'll just say I've just looked on SharePad, so now I'm ramping SharePad. Yeah, Amazon forecast PE 81.4 and 2 year forecast PE 61. So it's certainly not a cheap share, let's just say that. But it is quality in that sense. Yeah, what I was going to say was IOM, IOMART. Now, I hold IOMART. I think a lot of people think that IOMART will suffer because of AWS and the other cheap sort of space offering, data storage, data space offerings. But I think that misses the point that IOMART is, it's more of a bespoke service offering to a customer. So it will actually use AWS as part of its solution that it offers to the customer. So I think it's more to be viewed as a hybrid than just as a specific cheap solution for storing your data, which is why they get a lot of government contracts and stuff and security and whatever. Interesting thing of IOM is it's been massively sold off. in the last year, it's absolutely been butchered. It's gone from 350 pence at the top. It's now down to 144 today. I mean, you know, it could be dangerous. It could be a real reason for it selling off. But I can't help thinking it might just be very oversold. And the chart is starting to flatten out. So it could be an interesting situation to watch, but it will take some time before it starts to come good again, I think.
Well, I'm going to be completely honest and objective as I normally am, Pete. And if I've got no intentions of declaring it, but you've once again put your nose into my pie, you know, biting into my cake, as they call it.
Oh,
and, I'm classing it at the moment as a mistake, Pete, right?
Yeah.
But I'm holding the stock. I bought the stock. I put a tweet out there without naming the name of the stock.
Yeah.
I purchased it on the 20th of September, right? And I looked at that stock and thought, sum of parts is £4, right?
Yeah.
£4 any day of the week if somebody wants to come and buy it. Yeah. It's promptly then came out with some news. And as you say, the share price is down under the 20%, 20, probably 25%. I've not really tracked it that closely.
Yeah.
It's sitting now at 144, right? Near its 52-week low.
Mm.
Yeah. So given my lessons that I've been given of late and I keep trying to learn and trying to improve, I've decided to just wait to see where the, I nearly swore then, where the bottom is for IOMART before I add some more. Somebody else who was doing some ducking and diving in that when I put my new holdings out, then don't put the name out, basically came to me and said, could this be this stock? And I went, I'm not going to deny it. Yes, it is. But don't say anything to anybody else. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to talk about it. The thing for me is I don't want to talk about the stocks I own until I'm ready to talk about the stocks I own, because I don't want to influence anybody in that stock. I could have put that out at £2.20 or whatever it is, whatever I bought it at, because I don't know what the price is because I've got it in front of me when I purchased it in September, and other people could have easily followed me into that stock at £2.20 odd, Pete, right? And then they'd lost 10%, 20%, 25%, and they'd be going, oh, Conkers is beep, and I'm like, well, I didn't tell you to buy that stock.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Are you with me? So that's why I refuse to talk about my stocks most of the time.
Well, whenever anyone follows anyone else in trade, they've just got to realise it's their responsibility. You know, it's like you can get good insight on what loads of people are tipping, what loads of people are buying, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, any stock purchase is your decision and you've got to stand by that. Okay, you know, you might have followed me into stock and lost money on it. But, you know, it shows that I make lots of mistakes, which I do. But it also shows that you've got to take responsibility for your own buys. You can't just buy something because someone else thought it was good. That's just no reason to buy something.
I mean, you're spot on, Pete. I mean, I'll speak to people, and the those that are in the same mindset as yourself, a few others, Pete, Phil, and a few other people that we talk about, I think we had Ryan on, you know, months and months ago, you know, I'll Get You Gadget. We spoke to him a little while back. And the greatest source of pleasure for me is not about the money that's made on investing, but it's finding those little gems that other people haven't found or other people have found as well. But it's when it, you know, all the risks and all the different things that you've filtered through all that noise and you've gone, right, I'm going to put some of my hard-earned money on this stock. And then 3 months, 6 months or 6 years later, you're rewarded by that research. And that to me is the greatest pleasure of investing, is the research and the learning. You know, I don't get any pleasure from going, oh, X, Y, and Z's bought that, so I'm then going to lump on and buy that. Well, yeah, I can make some money.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
I can make some money some of the time, but not all the time. But there's no pleasure in it for me with that, regarding that.
It is funny because so often we read in textbooks and the gurus say it and whatever. They all sort of say, you know, it's not about your ego and da da da. But I think the sad reality, certainly for me, and I think for you to an extent, you know, I've got to admit it, I can't get away from it. There is an ego thing. You know, I am very pleased when I choose a stock and it does well. That is the essence of it, you know. And that is
Pete, but it's when you've chosen it. You're not chosen it because someone else has chosen it.
Yeah, but not just that. Not only have I chosen it, I've appropriately risk managed the position. So I've bought it in the right size. I've added to it at the right time. I've started to top slice it at the right sort of time. And I've controlled the position and controlled the overall risk of the portfolio. That's what I really enjoy. And that is ego. You just can't get around with that. I think it's people say, oh, you shouldn't be driven by your ego. And I don't think you can get around. I think everyone's driven by their ego.
I have to disagree with you, mate. I don't think everyone's driven by their ego.
Well, surely even the people who write a book saying, don't use your ego, their ego is so strong they've written a book, you know? I just think your ego is you. You just can't get away from that.
I have to dis well, I'm a mindfulness practitioner, Pete, so I'm going to have to politely disagree with you on that.
So are there people then that sort of display no sort of like ego, if you see what I mean? Because surely ego
I
varies
think
in degree.
I think there is, Pete. I think there's great
Okay.
examples of people that do things unconditionally out of kindness without any ego. There's people that have great success and have a great level of humility. And I think you can find examples of that in every single walk of life. And I think you can find examples of people that have got pure ego, who've got to where they've got to and forgotten where they started from and do not really care about anybody else but themselves. You know,
Maybe
and how.
that's my me misunderstanding the definition of ego more than anything. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
So on the subject of ego, Pete, one of the subjects I wanted to talk about today was after quite a few DMs, I'd put out a tweet reporting that I'd hit a new all-time high on the 26th of October, right? And what I did as well was I put out the losers regarding that, yeah, that had been achieved despite some of the losers, right? So I've had quite a few comments about, oh, it's really good that you commented about the losers and this, that, and the other, and all the rest of it. And I said, well, it's part and parcel of what I do all the time on Twitter. You know, if I have a stock that's doing well and it's doing well over a certain percentage, I'll mention it. So my standard one, yeah, if unless there's an RNS, I'm not going to mention the stock if it's moved 1%. Yeah, I'm going to mention it if it moves more than 3% or 2.5%. I'll mention it, I'll talk about it. If it falls more than 3% and it's not an RNS, I'll mention it. So if it falls 10% or 35%, I'll mention it. I won't go hiding behind a sofa or disappear for a day or a couple of days or a week so that people forget I own that stock. I'll talk about it. So what I was asked to do on this podcast, Pete, was to talk about some of my losers, yeah, and the reasons why I sold them, yeah, and my learning from them. Yeah. So I just wanted to do two examples of some of the stocks that I've recently got out of and the reasons why I sold them and what I'd learned from them. So if it benefits anybody. Yeah. So I think the most recent one that a lot of people will be aware of is obviously Loop Up, right? And I think we covered that more
Yeah, in the
recently
last one.
in the last one. So I'm not gonna go over that too much, but to say, you know, and I put the tweet out regarding it. You know, I was an absolute clown. You know, I bought it at 50 pence. I'd taken some off the table at a reasonable price. Watched it go all the way up to 2:30, where some time of Thompson was tipping it to go to 3 quid odd. And then I watched it go all the way down to 25 pence before I went, this isn't working out, is it? You know,
Yeah, I
and
mean, I hate.
overall. And overall, I've made a little bit of money from it, but I could have made significantly more from
I've
it.
done that myself so many
Yeah.
times, and it's, yeah.
So what's the lessons here, right? It goes back to I tend to do a lot of research, fundamental wise, regarding a stock, and then when I'm scaling in, I either lump in or a scale in, depending on how I feel about the stock, and I take a position size accordingly to for my risk, right? With Loop Up, the mistake I've made was not zooming out of the chart and looking at the chart rather than getting carried away with, I believe in this story. I believe that the management are going to turn this around. I believe that these contracts are going to come in, blah, 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 blah. And the stock just carried on going down and down and down and down. I could have got out at 50 pence where I originally bought it. I could have got out at £1, you know, just below where I'd trimmed it before at £1.40 or something daft like that. Yeah. All them different things just went out the window because I believed in the story. So what was my error? You can believe in the story, but sometimes use the technicals, just like Jay spoke about, yeah? And use the technicals to protect your downside risk, yeah? Protect your profits.
On Loop, right, it came out with profit warnings.
Yep.
What was your reaction to those profit warnings then?
My reaction to the profit warnings were the story is still intact, right?
Yeah.
Because we're still going to be getting it. We're still in lockdown in various different parts of the world, right? We've still got problems with people not wanting to go back to the offices, yeah, and wanting to work from home. And not all, but lots of articles I was reading were referring to hybrid working, right?
Yeah.
So partly working from home and partly going back to the office. So I thought, they're still going to be onto a good thing here. The revenues are still going to be coming in because there's still a demand for them. Right? Lo and behold, Zoom, the most overrated and expensive, sorry, overvalued stock in that niche, came out and said that their growth was slowing.
Yeah. Right?
In that particular space. And then I was like, uh-oh. If they're saying their growth is slowing in lots of different segments, there is a problem in Chinatown, right? And that to me was the last straw. I was like, okay, you know, I wasn't taking a hit on it because I didn't make a loss on holding it and the top slices I'd done. But it was just, you could have made so much more money in that situation. So huge lesson, you know, big custard pie, could have sold it much, much higher and almost selling it at 52-week low. Just disgraceful investing and trading on my part.
Right? You know, I think for me, it comes back to a challenge I face all the time, and this is the thing of what you do on a profit warning. And it's something we've discussed this on podcasts before, and it's one of those where, you know, I keep coming back to this thing that really, if you've got a stock and it does a profit warning, it might be the best thing to sell it then. I know I don't do that, you know, and I bloody well should, I think. And it's something I just constantly battle with myself about.
We all battle with it, Pete. And I'll speak about the event I went to last night a bit later on. But I was speaking to an IFA, and he has the same problem. And I was speaking to him, and I said, look, you know what? If you're really disciplined and you want to go by the technicals, which I don't do often enough myself, zoom out. Have a look at where the 200-day moving average is for this stock. And when it gives that up, yeah, if there's a profit warning and it gives that up, have a look at what the profit warnings are really, really, really about.
Yeah. You
know, and I always say this to everybody. If it's something related to fraud or accountancy stuff, I'm gone. I don't care. It could be AstraZeneca tomorrow. If it said as an AstraZeneca said it came out and says an accounting thing with it, I'd be gone, Pete.
No, do you know, I think that's an interesting point. I think there are definitely gradations of profit warnings. And as you say, when it's something like a fraud, it's just a no-brainer. You've got to get out.
Fraud, accountancy, yeah. I'm gone. If it's say, oh, we've lost this contract because of whatever, or we've got this and that going on, and those are things that are retrievable. You know, you can get another contract, or might even get a bigger contract with somebody else, you know. But you have to be mindful of what this is, what's going on with the company. Has this company now structurally changed? You know, the other thing I look out for, Pete, is when the CEO and the CFO very, very quickly walk out the door.
Oh, yeah.
Right? One month or 2 months after each other, you're thinking, uh-oh, there's something seriously wrong here. And that's something similar that's happening with TPG, another speculative stock I've been in for a little while. And that's turning out to be not a good news story whatsoever either. You have to look out for these little things. The market is telling you sometimes what's going on. You know, when you've got a company where the CEO, CFO and the board between them have sold, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 15 million, 25 million pounds worth of stock, they might be telling you something, folks, you know?
Yeah, so before we come on to TPG, because I would just love to hear a bit something about that, one of the things that I think helps here is what I talk about so many times about this sort of longitudinal research where I'm reading about companies all the time. So it's like, you know, loads of companies that I've never held in my life, But because I've been reading about them for 15 years, I've got a pretty good understanding of what they're at and what they're about. And something like Loop was a great example. And, you know, we had these conversations on the podcast before that I always said I never really trusted it. And to me, that is an important thing. It's like that longitudinal thing of knowing about the company for a long time and knowing how it's behaved in the past and what it's done in the past. You just sort of get a sense as to whether it's a decent company or not. And I was lucky with Luke because it kept me out. But I can absolutely see why you bought into it. And it totally made sense to buy into it on the change that was happening. But for me, because I'd already had the history on it, I was very wary of that stock.
And this is, you've made a great point there, Pete. History, 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 history. It's something and you go, oh, I remember this company. And this is the other thing as well, folks, to look out for. Companies changing their names because you lose track of who they are and what they are. You go to do a check on various different platforms as to, you know, or even on ShareScope, you check on how they're doing. And if they've been going with this new name for a year and a bit, you're getting a year and a bit of a chart. You're not getting a 5-year chart. So you can't see where they've done all this history, all these other bits and pieces. You might not even see all the news because the news is under a different ticker regarding all the different placings and all the other stuff that the shenanigans, as I call it, that the management have been up to.
Have a look at CHLL, the chart. You got it?
I'm looking now.
This
CHLL. LL, which is...
Chill Brands. Now, I might be wrong because it's not something I've got any interest in because the sector absolutely sucks as far as I'm concerned. This was Zoetic International, Zoe, Z-O-E. And it's became Chill, and it had a big problem today, and it's dropped 13%. And the chart is an absolute shocker. Who was that? The Grand Old Duke of York. He marches his men up the mountain, and then marches them back down the other side.
Right, I remember Zoetic getting a lot of ramping, mate, from lots of people.
I was flagging on Twitter that it was a farce, and I got a lot of abuse for it. But hey, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, this is the thing, Pete. We spoke about it before. You know, people don't like you talking about stocks that they're in or they're wedded to or they've got money in because, you know, you could stop somebody else from losing money, you know, buying that stock. But they don't care about other people losing money. They just care about other people, you know, jumping on board and buying what they're buying and all the rest of it.
Do you know, it baffles me, right? I'm not being funny, but I like to think 99.9% of the time I treat my followers with respect. And I just think the way some people treat their followers is absolutely disgusting. I don't know how they have any followers.
It is, Pete. You know, I saw some people mentioning Games Workshop just this week. You know, I had a phone call from somebody. What day are we? Wednesday. Tuesday. Tuesday before I went to the event I was going to tell you about later on.
Yeah.
And basically he was saying, Pete, you know what? You've saved me about £260,000.
Oh, right?
I want to invite you when you're ready to come down to London, all expenses paid, and I'll take you to the Savoy and blah, 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 and all the rest of it. And I said, why? He said, because the conversations you've had and what you've said about Games Workshop made me think about it. It wasn't you that made me sell, but I sold and got out of it. And at the current price it's at, which is at, I think it was at 95 quid or just above 95 quid on Tuesday. He saved himself 260K.
Oh, wow.
And I said to him, no, thank you. And I said, I've got no interest in going to Savoy. That's not who I am and what I'm about. And I said, if you really want to do that and spend that kind of money on me, don't spend it on me. Drop the money into the Twin Peaks challenge on the Memphis Just Giving page. So I'm waiting to see if there's an anonymous large donation, Pete, between now and Christmas. So if you are listening, David, please make the donation. I'll repeat, make that donation or whatever you think it would have cost.
You don't have to put 250,000 quid in.
No, I'm not looking for that, Pete. I'll be happy with a tenner. I don't care. Yeah, just make the anonymous donation to the Memphis charity page. I don't need to go to the Savoy. You know what I mean? I don't need to be pampered. Make a donation to the charity.
You're too posh for the Savoy anyway.
Yeah, right, mate. Oh, dear.
Did they turn me away because I was far too posh?
Oh, dear. So quickly, Pete, one of the other losers I had, and some people are talking about it again, is another stock, which, again, Pete, Shearwater is the ticker symbol, not the place to go shopping.
SWG,
SWG,
yeah.
Which I sold. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I think it was a 37% loss I made on that. I trimmed, yeah, bought, added, you name it, danced around it, held it for a little while. And my frustration with that stock, Pete, was that you're in cybersecurity. We're in lockdown. All these computers and all this hardware and software and everything else needs to be protected with people taking computers and doing work from home. Yeah? During lockdown, if you can't make money during lockdown and get a boost to your revenue, then when can you make money on the stock?
I'm just looking at the chart for Shearwater, yeah? And it has just made a new 3-year low. That's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign, Pete. But the thing is, I sold it, right? I took my, let me get this right. I'm looking for the data now. More than 2% loss on it, right?
Yeah.
So buys at £2.26, right? On the 37th of, 31st of the 7th, July 2019. Buys at 165 on the 24th of August in 2020. Part selling at 158, right? And then finally I went, enough is enough. You're not actually producing this now. Yeah, you're not doing what you need to do. So I sold out of it on, let me get the date right, on the 22nd of February, 2021 of this year, right? And as with most things, when I finally had enough, right, of stocks, they go on a nice little merry run, right?
Oh, yeah, rally.
And I thought, I'm just going to watch that. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to get caught out in this fear of missing out stuff, blah, 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 blah. So I'd sold it in the 130s, mate, in March. April, it then decided it's time to move on. 137 in April, yeah, end of April. Eventually, it goes up, Pete, all the way. I think the 52-week high was actually in June, yeah, at £2.30. And I'm going, looking in the mirror going, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. But you know what? Be patient with it. I can't see much change in what they're doing. They're just talking things up. Let's just see if the revenues actually come on stream. And the revenues haven't. And since June, it's just been trailing down, trailing down, trailing down. And it's now lower than when I sold it. Yeah. And some people are probably still holding it. But yesterday's trading update wasn't great. And it moved yesterday, obviously. And again, today it's down another 4%. And like you say, it's at multi-year lows again.
The market is very unforgiving at the moment. The mood has totally changed. Even if you beat expectations, you're not being rewarded much at the moment. And if you meet expectations, quite often you fall. And if you miss expectations, then there's no prisoners at the moment, mate. I'll tell you, they're all being executed. The prisoners are
executed.
It's not good. It's
we must give a shout out for Squid Games then, execution, if you're mentioning that, and the fact that there was a squids.
Oh, the quids, I thought you meant the Twitter account.
The coin, Pete. The coin. There's a squids coin, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Big fraud. So listen, people, if it's too good to be true and something's going from micro cents in the dollar to a couple of thousand pounds or several thousand pounds and dollars worth of coin overnight, then be very, very careful. You're going to get your hands given to you. You know, be careful. Someone's trying to commit a fraud there.
While we're on the subject of executions, I just need to throw this in because it was quite horrifying. I was innocently, right, I have to use that word, I was innocently watching, oh God, I've got to spell this right. I'm going to spell it P-A-W-N, right? Porn. Porn Stars. I was watching that just before we started recording this, yeah? And in it, they're using like one of these, it was really old, like a 17th century samurai sword, yeah?
Yeah.
And they were using that, and they had one come in the shop, and the bloke who's an expert took the handle off it, because you always have to like take the handle off and that tells you all the stuff. And it told you who the maker was and all the markings were there. And they said this guy was so good that the person who used to test the blades was like the emperor's chief executioner. No, it was the The Emperor's Chief Decapitator. What a job.
Oh dear.
What's your job? I'm the Chief Decapitator. Yeah, it's different. It's certainly different.
Very different indeed, Pete. Very different.
Anyway, a lot of stock's being decapitated at the moment.
Yeah, and this is the thing, as you say, you know, if there's a profit warning, you've got to be ready for it because, you know, it will be a 15 to 35% hit. And the beloved stocks that are out there now will get absolutely, you know, decapitated, as you said, by a changing trend, you know.
Mate, can we talk about, just as a general kind of a point, about a stock that I had an observation on? Is it this, you know, like normally we talk about loads of stocks at the end. I've just got one quickly to throw in, which is a bit of an antidote to what you just talked about with stocks that have gone wrong. This is one that over many, 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 many years, if not decades, right, has actually been a pretty good stock to hold. Not the most exciting by any means. But I was thinking about Tesco's the other day, TSCO. I don't hold it. It just occurred to me that that company, it's almost like it's got an enduring cultural advantage. So it's like something within the DNA of the company that keeps it the market leader in groceries. And, you know, it has difficult times. I mean, it went through real trouble a couple of years ago, didn't it? But look how that stock has come back. And now it's taking market share again and doing really well when some of the other grocery companies are struggling again. And when you sort of think of really good quality, enduring companies in the UK, you'd have to mention Tesco's.
You'd have to, Pete, and you're absolutely spot on. It's sitting here right now, today, having achieved multi-year highs, mate. If not, it's sitting near its all-time high. So definitely a five-year high. I'd have to probably zoom out of the chart a bit more to see if it's actually an all-time high. Let's have a quick look here, see if the computer lets me. No, obviously not an all-time high. But the last time it was at these sort of levels, we're looking at 2014.
Wow, there you go.
So it's sitting at a seven-year high, Pete. It's up 1 year return, 30%. Year-to-date, 18%. Sleepy little retailer, beating all the ramped-up stocks. There you go. Hopefully, Pete, it's not someone coming out. Thursday is a very popular day. Monday and Thursday is a very popular days for takeovers. Let's hope someone's not coming in to steal our beloved Tesco's, okay?
Oh, God, yeah. Do you know, I'm just looking on SharePad, right, the numbers, and it's on a forecast PE of 13.6, two-year forecast one of 13, which, you know, isn't expensive. And it's got a forecast yield of 3.7% and a two-year forecast yield of 3.8. So as a sort of buy it, tuck it away in your income portfolio and just leave it and forget about it. It probably ain't a bad stock to have.
And this is the beauty of not working hard and being able to sleep at night. You know, I would rather have that in my portfolio than that stock that's going to go up and down 15 or 20% each week. Yeah.
Yeah.
But people like the chase and people like to have a little gamble. You know, I like to speculate every now and then as well. You know, but you're talking about a stock that you can compound in your portfolio, right? And I always go back, Pete, to what has it done over the total returns, annualized total returns on this, yeah?
Yeah, what's that?
So you're sticking it in your portfolio and it's helping towards your CAGR, right?
Yeah.
10 years annualized, -2%, right? 5 year annualized, 6.25%. That's not bad, right? So just under 11 years ish, you're compounding, you're doubling your money on the next, you know, after 5 years.
Yeah.
Another 6 years on top of that. 3 years, 8.84% total annualized. Yeah. Over the last 1 year, as I said, you're sitting at up 30% over the last 12 months. So annualized, that's 24.6% at the minute. So that's a good stock to have on there. You've got.
I'm surprised by that 10-year. I'm surprised it's minus two.
Yeah, because it's had a bit of a. I think it had a bit of a time where I'm not sure if it actually paid a divvy, Pete, as well. So I'm sure that's probably why it's there. But
Maybe it
obviously,
stopped
over
doing
the
for a
10
couple of
years,
years.
Pete, over the 10 years, you've got to remember the stock was nearer to £5. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
that takes the hit, and
yeah.
that's what makes it the negative over the 10 years, because you were looking at £5, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, £5.10 in 2012. You're looking at £4.65 in 2013, and £4.50 in mid 2013. So you've got that compression from £4 and up, £4.5 down to current 2.73. So that's where you lose the percentage returns there.
Yeah, and it must be just that period of underperformance.
Underperformance, but yeah, it's sitting there now, mate, at significant sort of time
But
frame highs, mate.
if you
So.
think, right, someone who, for instance, might have worked for Tesco and they were, say they were working for Tesco for 30 years, they will have done really well on it, won't they? If they had shares
They would
30
have
years
done.
ago and
They would
held
have
them all
done.
that time, they'd have done blinking well on it.
Yeah. I think the important thing to just keep an eye out of is the competition coming in from the likes of Amazon. We mentioned them earlier, and what they're going to do, and the fact that everyone, margin wise, are going to get hit regarding the expenses, regarding logistics and delivery, and so on and so forth over this period of time. And Christmas is going to be a significant time for retailers, Pete. It's going to be a really, really significant time for them. And I think it's very important to mention, was it, oh, I'm losing track of what the days, mate. I'm running around like a madman. I think it was today, wasn't it? Yeah. Next, the other retailer that we all always look on to see
NXT,
how well things are doing. And that came out with news today, and it said that third quarter trading update, sorry, reported it expects pre-tax profits of the year to 31st of January to rise 6.9%. And the markets were like, meh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was what I said before. If you're just in line, it just it you know they're down 3.3%. It was
Yeah, the
okay.
market wasn't impressed, mate. And I thought that was a bit harsh today, Pete, to be fair.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I was a little bit like, really? What did you want? What did you expect? Because, you know, this is what's going on.
Because you know how much
Sorry, go on.
you know how much your missus spends in there.
I do that at Marks and Spencer's, mate, and all the others that come. Amazon Prime, mate, crikey. You know.
The delivery van's queuing up outside
Oh
your
my gosh, it's just crazy. But yeah, I thought that was a bit harsh. And it's a case of, you know, what about these other companies that actually say they haven't produced 6% upgrade to their end of year, revenue or pre-tax profits? You know, what are the ones that come out and say actually does the logistics costs and CapEx costs and, you know, the revenues have actually going to be dropping? You're going to be down 30% in a heartbeat, Pete.
It's back to what we say about quality, though, and what my sort of whole point is with Tesco's. Do you know what? You could almost lump Next in the same category. It's
Agreed.
one of those companies. I mean, when I think about it, it's been around, what, 50, 60 years? It's
Yeah.
still doing well.
Still
Okay,
doing well.
40, 50 years. It's still doing well. And you think, well, there must be something culturally right to be able to keep it going all them years. You think, you were saying about competition coming in and stuff for Tesco's. It's like, yeah, but they've faced challenges like that before and they've always come through it eventually and in good shape. And that's impressive,
I completely agree with you. I think under the leadership and guidance of Lord Wolfson as well, Next have really, really
Oh,
stepped up their game. And the
yeah.
communication in their RNS's full year updates, trading updates, etc., is always impeccable. But what they've always done, Pete, is always
Yeah.
under promised and over delivered more often than not. And that I think a lot of companies could be mindful of actually taking that strategy on board. And there's too many companies, unfortunately, even in bad times, over promise. And they wonder why shareholders go, I can't trust these people. You know, they keep promising this and promising that, and the share price gets ahead of itself, only to come out with a warning, or only to raise money, or only to do placing. You
So I'm
know?
looking on SharePad and Next NXT is on forecast PE of 15.7, dropping to 14.5 2 years out.
Yeah.
If forecast yield 2.5% rising to 3%. Those aren't bad numbers, really. I you know, it's not incredibly cheap, but it's not expensive. And I think as a buy at the prices now and one to hold on to, it probably do quite well. Not exciting, you know, it's not chill brands. It's not going to go shooting up to the moon, shooting down to the cavern. You know, it's not going to do that. But yeah, it's a good solid tuck away, chunky sort of solid, you know, bedrock part of your portfolio. You could do a lot worse.
Absolutely agree with you, mate. Absolutely. Right, Pete, I want to shake things up a little bit and bring people back to the good old Twin Peaks challenge and the Memphis charity fundraising that we've been talking about since the beginning of this year. And I've got some absolutely phenomenal news for those that listen to us. I want to thank everybody that so far has made the gesture and thanked us for the podcast by making a small or large donation to the Twin Peaks challenge. The page that you guys are always looking for, and I know some of you are saying, I haven't made the donation so far because you always forget to mention the page. The page to go to is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Twin Peaks challenge. This challenge has had 196 supporters so far, and bearing in mind that several of them have made double and three and four or five donations or more so far. But we have, folks, smashed through the 15,000 barrier. We're sitting at £15,101 donated so far. And I want to give a big shout out to some of our recent supporters of this. And this includes my good friend at Claudio H. Fox on Twitter, who donated £50. And I want to share this because he shared these words, donated £50 and £12 gift aid. And he said, I wholeheartedly support the work done by Memphis supporting young people and children with disabilities. Well done to Peter Higgins, a.k.a. Conkers 3, for his fundraising and attention drawn to inclusion and respect. Then we had Scott Porter, I think that's Barnable, Barnarebel on Twitter, donated £8 plus £2.12 gift aid. So thank you, Scott. And then we had at Salt Air 111, and it was Salt Air that pushed us over the 15 at Salt Air 111. So he donated £60 and £15 gift aid. And his words were, hope this takes you through the 15K barrier. Well done to you and the other Peter in this amazing achievement. I'm sure all my fellow podcast listeners will join me on congratulating you. Salty.
Ah, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. Yeah. Thanks, Salty. That is excellent.
And yeah. Then we had the fantastic and probably the main female self-taught investor that I've got the ultimate respect for regarding honesty, objectivity, learning. And just, you know, she just shares on Twitter the warts and all of everything that she does, the good, the bad, the indifferent. And I've learned a lot from this person. That is Diana Patterson, at Diana E. Patterson on Twitter. And yesterday, Diana donated £100 and £25 gift aid. And her words were, I really enjoy these podcasts. These are two great investors who provide an excellent, fun way to educate about the stock market. Thank you for all that you do for investors of all levels.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks, Diana. That is wicked.
So, yeah, so I'm well chuffed. So if you guys, ladies, gents, can help us nudge towards 16,000, we're running this until December the 31st, and we're looking to make a significant gesture in a sense of buying a significant piece of equipment for Memphis and their work they do with disabled children and the services that they provide for the young people and their families. And with that in mind, I was very, very chuffed and blessed to have been invited yesterday to the award ceremony that Memphis held, because as I mentioned a few or several podcasts ago, actually, that Memphis won the MBE for voluntary services. So the MBE is the Queen's Award for voluntary service.
Excellent.
So I was invited yesterday to the presentation of the Queen's Award for Voluntary Services by the Lord Lieutenant of Leicestershire, Mike Kapoor, and the Lady Jennifer Gretton, DCVOJP, also. I got an invitation from her as well. So I went to that event last night, and there were so many dignitaries in that particular room. I was like, I felt completely out of place, Pete. But it was an absolute joy to attend the event and see the CEO of Memphis be given that by essentially the Queen's representative of Leicestershire, which is Mike Kapoor, a chap that I know who's the current Leicestershire lieutenant. So it was great for him to give the speech and give Ian that award last night on the behalf of Memphis and all the ambassadors and all the volunteers and all the staff that do that great piece of work. So I was blessed to go to that event last night. And we've got more work to do. We're in the process of raising money for the Christmas gift that we do each year. So we're going to purchase some gifts for those young people and some of the other young people that don't actually attend maybe as well. To take some gifts out to some of those in the community that probably won't get a gift this year. So that's part of the stuff that I'm working on at the moment. And we may utilise some of that money that we've raised already to buy some gifts for some young people in the community that are not going to receive much this year for a variety of different reasons, or just very hard for their families to afford anything because of financial restraints. So that's what we're doing. And if you can make a donation to that Just Giving page, I'd really, really appreciate it. And anything you can do between now and December, whether it be £1 or £10, whatever you can afford, will be gratefully received. And I'd really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much.
That's brilliant. That's such good stuff. It sounds like you had a useful evening anyway.
It was a great evening, mate. You know, and you know, I spent my time in uniform when I was in the RAF, so I appreciate a good uniform. And
yeah,
when you talked about you know, swordsmanship, you know, you're talking on the PAWN channel that you was watching, Pete.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't have any decapitations there, did they?
But Mike, I was speaking to Mike and I got a picture taken with him, and he was telling me about the sword. I'm looking at the sword and boy, oh boy, that's a piece of art there.
Wow.
You know, he was in his full regalia, mate. It was absolutely fantastic.
Excellent. You know.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPETES. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to ShareePad today using the TWINPETES promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
So, yeah, it was a great
event. You don't want to upset him, mate.
Don't upset him. But it was just lovely to be invited, Pete, you know?
Oh, God.
Hopefully the work that we're doing is and the charity and fundraising we're doing is going to some good use, Pete.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant. Mate, do you want to do some stocks?
Yeah, I will let you lead, mate. I've got two I want to talk about, and one of them is a stock that I've partially mentioned before, and it is my 10 bag of stock, Pete, my lithium stock. I want to declare what it is because it's actually reached that goal now.
Lovely. Right. Well, one that I'll just mention quickly first is I came across a new IPO that is going to float, and it's a bit unusual because there's not many ways of playing this theme, and it's not an exciting theme. Again, it's as boring as hell, but I think it could be a good dividend play. And that is a new thing called Foresight. That's the sort of investment company who runs it, yeah? Foresight Sustainable Forestry. So it's a way of getting exposure to trees And if you think about it, with COP26 going on at the moment, or the climate shindig, one of the things that's obviously going to come out of the focus on net zero is much more planting of trees so that people can do their net carbon offsets things. So this could be a nice little investment. It's not going to make you a billionaire overnight, but it's the kind of thing where you can probably get 4 or 5% dividend return from it. And you'll probably get some capital appreciation as well. I can't remember the numbers, but they're probably targeting sort of 8 to 10% per year. So that's like a bit of capital appreciation, bit of dividend. But I think that, and you could feel good like you're doing something for the planet, even though really it's all a bit of a farce, but we won't worry about
Don't
that.
say it's a bit of a farce,
No,
Pete.
no, 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 no. What I mean is carbon offsets, I think, is a load of
Oh,
nonsense.
carbon offset. Sorry.
Because it's like you're flying an aeroplane today and polluting the hell out of the planet. But it's okay because you're planting a tree that won't mature for another 200 years. So it's not going to take hardly any carbon out, is it? So I think it's all a bit of a nonsense, but that
Pete,
doesn't matter. The point is doing good.
your use of the word farce resonates with me, because what I'm reading and I'm looking at what's going on, and my question, my I had this conversation with my daughter. I said, Evs, I said, look, just keep an eye out for how all of these leaders from all over the world are actually getting to COP26. And each time I do the school run, I'm hearing this. And each time I'm doing the school run on the way back, we're having the conversation. And I said, Evs, have you seen that? She goes, yeah, helicopters, private jets. I said, yes, Evs. How is all that being offset? How's that not polluting everything?
Biden motorcade.
Oh my gosh, mate. So yeah, so don't do not get me started on what those leaders have been doing and how they've been getting there. And they're not going to share a jet with each other. They're all going separately, Pete,
Honestly,
and the motorcades that they've all got to have as well to get somewhere, because they can't be seen in just one car. They've got to camouflage which car they're in,
what is it? 20? Yeah. Biden had 22 cars in the motorcade,
Allegedly, Pete. I'm
and
asking
a
who counted
decoy,
it.
and a decoy as well.
Yeah. Oh,
Jeez.
it's just sheer madness, mate.
Shambolic man.
Absolutely sheer.
So foresight, sustainable forestry could be an interesting one, and it might be something that's not correlated so much with stocks and things. So anyway,
Yeah.
something like that.
Okie dokie. All right, Pete. I've talked indirectly and mused about a stock that I've had for a little while, and I was hoping at some point before Christmas, because there was a bit of momentum in the stock, that it would eventually be a 10 bagger. My purpose of not naming the stock was essentially my basic premise that if you've got a good stock, or there's a stock out there that's doing well, you do not need to talk about it every day. You do not need to talk about it every week. You do not need to talk about it every time there's a trading update. And this is just me just, raising against some of the noise that's on Twitter regarding X, Y, and Z stocks. And I didn't know the stock was going to do as well as it did, but I said to my mentor, here's a stock that I think I found. I think it might do well. Have a conversation about it. And he basically helped me navigate the lithium space and helped me find this particular stock. So I think probably the politest thing to do is to just say to you guys that if you're looking to ladies and gents, sorry, if you're looking to learn about investing in the mining space, and you're looking to look away from AIM, there are two people that I would recommend that you speak to that I've spent a lot of time talking to and learning from. And they are at Claudio H. Fox. Yeah. And I think the other one, I always get his Twitter handle wrong, is at Toro AIM. And that's at TORO_AIM. And it was mainly Claudio that I spoke to, but I ended up buying into a stock by the name of Lake Resources, and it's listed on the ASX, Australian stock market. And basically, they've got the projects, and they're into the space of cleaner lithium for the electric world. And lots of other deals have been made and been done, and projects are in place. I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, but the projects are Kachi, Cauchari, Olaroz, Paso, and so on and so forth. You want to do your research, go out and do the research. I purchased the stock at, I've got the contract notes in front of me here, 0.084 cents on the 21st of September 2018, and at 7 cents, Australian cents we're talking here, on the 19th of the 6th, 2019. Yeah. And yesterday, or well, last night, our morning time, because we're obviously Australia time we're talking about here now, it closed up at $1.01. Yeah.
Wow, brilliant.
And that's without talking about it, that's without ramping it, that's without forcing it down other people's throats or encouraging anybody else to buy it. So that's one of the stocks that I hold, and that's one of the reasons why my portfolio on the 26th was at a all-time high, despite my losers. And that's why today my portfolio is at, again, an all-time high. But I'm not going to put a post out on Twitter because I know it's just going to irritate a few people. So I won't do that. And I'll wait until another occasion that I will do it, you know.
What was the code on that one? Do they have
It's
like
LKE
LKE, and that's
on
on
the
the
ASX.
ASX?
Yeah.
Fantastic, mate. Well
So there's
done.
lots of deals at front, but the reason why it's doing so well, Pete, is that there's lithium and then there's clean lithium. And this goes back to the ESG aspects of it. How do you mine, do it ethically and clean? You know, so that's what they're trying to do, and that's what the space that they're going in. They're trying to make sure that all the purity's high, yeah, and it's extracting it using a sustainable method that doesn't disrupt and dirty and pollute the area that they're mining from. Yeah, where will it be next year? I don't know. Yeah, where could the stock go? I don't know. Right now, my average is where it is, and it's way over a 10-bag situation. Yeah, so my lowest purchase on that stock is 7 cents, and it's today or last night. It closed at $1.01.
Joe, it's interesting because I've been sort of hearing a lot about how they're trying to go towards, I think it's like hydrogen powered mining equipment and stuff, because
Yep.
it's a big problem, because JCBs and whatever are all powered by diesel, and it
Yep.
just so it's like you're digging out a great net zero kind of mineral because you're digging out lithium, which is used in batteries and stuff. But if you're burning loads of diesel to get it in the first place, it sort of takes away a bit from the attraction. So,
Well, you mentioned JCB, Pete. That's exactly what they've just done. Is that what you're going on about?
Well,
Lord
I mean,
Bamford,
yeah, I
yeah,
saw
the owner
something
of
about it.
JCB, is basically saying, you know, we're going to spend an absolute fortune making sure that, you know, we get clean lithium, yeah, into the trucks, but also we run the engines on hydrogen.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly.
So there's loads of people that have been mocking and taking the pee, and you know, every single time there's a mention of ITM Energy, ITM Power, they just laugh, you know. And all of a sudden, all the talk is about hydrogen and H2 power. And ITM haven't made any money yet; they've barely got any revenue yet, you know. But the share was at £5 again just yesterday. Versus me trimming it at 165 and buying it at 23 pence. So people can laugh all they want, but at some point or other, you know, the share price will tell you how well it's doing. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, ITM's an interesting one, as you say, because it's not making any money or anything, so it's
Well,
got to
they're
be
not making
viewed.
any revenue, Pete.
Yeah, so it's got to be viewed as speculative, but the
Of
fact that
course,
there's
of
some big
course.
companies invested in it makes you sort of stand up and take notice. So that's certainly one that is worth thinking
There
about.
is billions going into the hydrogen H2 space. Billions, Pete.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know.
I'm just hearing loads of fireworks here, mate. Because I live in Windsor near Legoland, and I can hear loads of fireworks. So that's probably Legoland getting a bit crazy or something. Mate, another stock I was going to talk about one I tripped over today, which I think looks really interesting as a turnaround story, is Braemar Shipping, BMS. And it came out with a trading update today. And it's interesting because they used to be called Braemar Seascope. And they used to do, like, I don't know, like diving things. It's mainly a ship broking company, yeah? Now, obviously, shipping is a big thing at the moment because there's all sorts of problems with shipping stuff around the world. So it's got new management in because the old management got into trouble. It's got new management in. They've been selling bits off. They've become more focused as just a ship broking company. And funnily enough, we spoke about a company called Clarkson, CKN.
Yes. They're the daddy of the space, yeah. Aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about Clarkson's probably 10 podcasts ago as being a real outstanding quality play in that kind of space. But I think, you know, this BMS looks really interesting. I don't hold it. I only read about it this morning. I've known the company for years sort of thing, but I've never particularly been interested in it. But I just thought today it's got all the makings of a good turnaround. And the shares are up 3.5% today. So the market liked what it heard. The forecast PE is 10.8, falling 2 years out to 9.7. And you're picking up a forecast yield of 2.2%, rising to 2.4. Got a bit of debt, but they're selling stuff off, so that debt will probably come down. They did say in the update that they were generating cash nicely. I just think it looks a really interesting one, yeah.
Okie dokie. I'm going to mention this stock, Pete, because I'm always a little bit about hospitality stocks.
Yeah. But
this one today surprised me, and I think it really, really surprised the market because it absolutely popped. Now, I'm not sure who's going to these places, but clearly some people are. The stock is called Nightcap. And it's a late night bars operator, ticker symbol NGHT, Pete.
Yeah.
And obviously they've got bars up and down the country. But mate, they came out results today. Yeah. And this ties in with the old what do you call it, Pete? Cocktail bars and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Got,
yeah.
Operating in London. I think there's one in Bristol. Sophisticated bar, Pete, for the first class audience, you know what I mean?
Oh, for like us then.
Me and you wouldn't be allowed in, is what I'm trying to say, Pete. Yeah.
Okay.
We won't be allowed in, mate. No riffraff, mate. So so their shares, Pete, today popped 21% to 23 pence.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So they look like a reasonable recovery play. Market cap 35 mil. But essentially what they were basically saying today was full year results for 2022 will be significantly ahead of expectations. It said that for the first 13 weeks of the 2022 financial year to 26th of September, it generated revenues of 7.6 million, which was, and wait for it, Pete, 68% higher or ahead of the same period of 2019.
Yeah, that's interesting. They've compared with 2019 because obviously that was before COVID. So,
So it seems like they may be on track. We've just got to wait and see what happens over the Christmas period and the next 6 months. You know what I mean? But it's the talk. I think the talk is there's been lots of pent up demand. People have been at home, you know, most of 2020.
Yeah.
You know, and now they seem to be going back in, especially during the summer when we weren't in lockdown. Everyone's like, "Sod it, I'm going out." Oh yeah, we'll meet you down there to go and have a coffee.
Hey.
You know.
Hang on, mate. I know that name. Sarah Willingham is the chief executive. Is she? She was on Dragon's Den or something.
I think
she?
You are right. I think that is the lady. Yep.
There you go, mate. I'm sure of it.
So all that free marketing on that particular program couldn't have done any harm. You know.
Yeah, I know her. Yeah, she was like but maybe 10 years ago on Dragon's Den, Sarah Willingham. She used to like be in the restaurant trade or something.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, and she was like 10 years ago, she was probably about, I don't know, 40 odd, 45 maybe. So she's still reasonably young and yeah, I think that's an interesting one.
The thing I always liked about Sarah Willingham was the fact, Pete, that she was very, very down to earth. You know, she's not one of them that, you know, silver spoon sort of individuals. You know, brought up, I think she was brought up in Staffordshire. I think if I remember rightly, Stoke-on-Trent or something like that. You know what I mean? But she actually did very, very well academically and ended up going to Cranfield University, and that's where she got all of her, you know, a lot of her skills. But she's a serial entrepreneur and investor, Pete. So if she can make it work, you know,
You
regarding
know, she.
hospitality, you know, you know that the company should do well.
I'm pretty sure she used to work with a big hitter in the hospitality sector. I can't think who it was off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure she learnt her craft working somewhere, you know, where she would learn a lot from somebody else. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain she did. Pretty certain. Oh, wow. I mean, I as a general rule, I'm not a big fan of investing in bars, but that does sound an interesting one. And I think the thing to remember is that these kind of things are very cyclical and they do go in and out of fashion. But it doesn't mean to say you can't buy them and make a nice turn on them over for a few years.
Absolutely, mate. I mean, it's it,
Yeah.
you look at the chart on it, Pete, and I'll try and get a max chart on this as possible.
Yeah, I'd look. Yeah, it's pushed up, isn't it? It's like it's broken up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've only got a chart to last year, so I'm not sure. I don't know what it IPO'd. I didn't look into it that deeply, but we're looking at middle of
It
last
looks
month. It
like
was.
it listed at 10p and it's now at 23. It went to a high of 35p and then it sort of slid and slid and slid and slid. Now it looks like it's turning up again.
So was it
Interesting.
16 pence middle of last month, and
Yeah.
today's at 23 pence, and it's up 22%. So that's, you know, you've got a night, you've got all the wrong things there. You know what I mean? You've got a bar and a nightclub operator. You know,
Yeah.
you've got all those. It's like, and then pop, we've smashed it up 21%. So this goes back to what Pete and I always say, folks. You know, do a bit of research. You could have found that and been sitting on that last week or the week before at 16, 18 pence, and then today been rewarded with a 21% pop.
Well, I
You
think
know?
also, I think, you know, if you bide your time now, I think you can probably find a decent entry. And the chances are the trend has changed on this one and it could do quite well. It's not one to go mad on and put loads of money in, but as a small bit of a portfolio, it could be worth a play.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree, mate. So yeah, so that's the stocks that Pete and I were going to cover. I think I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, or a lot of people don't know, sorry, a lot of people will know that I'm always busy with lots of different projects and working on various different things, including all the community and charity work that I do. But there will be a new project that will be launched that I've got involved in and will be working on going forward. And I'm hoping, if fingers are crossed, that there'll be news released on Friday, if not at the weekend, regarding a new venture that I'm involved in. So if you could all just watch that space and keep an eye on my Twitter handle at Conkers3, there'll be a new project that will be launched hopefully by the latest of Sunday, if things go well. So I'd like you guys just to comment on it or let me know what you think about it. It's a bit different, but not different. But you'll see what I mean when I when it launches, and hopefully I'll await your feedback about it.
Excellent.
It's all to do with education. Investing education is my bag, so that's what it's about.
Brilliant. Sounds worth waiting for, mate.
Anything else you want to add, Pete?
No, I think we're pretty much there. We've been rabbiting on for a while and talking about far too many executions and too much pawn. I have to say again,
Stop.
pawn,
Stop. You'll get
PAWN.
us taken off the air, mate. Come on.
Oh, got to be so careful, haven't you?
Yeah,
But yeah, no,
absolutely.
that's good, mate. That's good.
Okie dokie. Ladies and gents, wherever you are in the world, thank you ever so much for carrying on listening to us and persisting with us despite these longer and longer podcasts. Thank you ever
Yeah.
so much for your good, bad, and indifferent feedback regarding our podcast, because it's what's helped us to get to 3 years in and keep tweaking and improving it for you. I'm hoping, you know, that Pete's health improves and we can actually
Same I.
get a guest on that I want, that's in Australia, and we were looking to have that guest on, but Pete's not been great elsewise. So please just pass on your prayers and your goodwill and your healing powers to Peter so we can get this Australian guest recorded with us, possibly on the next podcast. We're going to have to do an early morning one because obviously they're X amount of hours in front of us. So it won't be a 5 or 6 o'clock recording. It'll probably be a 10 or 11 o'clock recording if we do it. So watch this space. We might be down in Australia in our next podcast. So until then, take care. God bless. Do what you can for others. But please, 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 please make sure that you are kind, considerate, thoughtful to others as well, and give to charity if you can afford to do so. Take care. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.